Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, when we use the term multi in the payments industry, some people instantly think about the complexity aspect of multi anything. And therefore, some merchants tune out as they already have enough to take on just running the business, that handling a new multi of anything might just be too much. But when it comes to multi acquiring, if done correctly, can produce a great ROI and not require a multi-level lift from the merchant. So to talk about how multi acquiring can be done correctly, I have Kieran Mungry, who is a manager of solutions consulting and merchant retail at ACI Worldwide, and Raymond Pucci, the director of merchant services at Mercator Advisor Group. So there's certainly a lot of data and insight to unpack on today's episode. So without any further delays, let's start the show.
So Kieran and Ray, thank you so much for taking the time today for speaking to me, kind of really taking a deep dive around PSPs and merchants and a kind of a multi-acquiring relationship here. Now, Kieran, I want to start with you because I know that your organization, ACI, has recently done some survey, you know, work regarding around kind of this multi-acquiring relationship here. So the first question that I've got is, based upon that survey results, what are some of the main reasons PSPs and merchants are using a multi-acquiring relationships?
Thanks. So when we speak to our PSPs and merchants, I mean, and in terms of product development and solution delivery, it's the, you know, there's three key themes that always come out of that. And it's around customer experience or customer journey, customer impact, impact of growth, and how does it impact cost? So those three things are really fundamental. So taking the topic of multi-acquiring, the key areas that came back from our customer survey was that resilience at 21% was the number one reason around multi-acquiring. Then there was around operational costs and efficiencies. And then finally, 14% on conversion. But when we start to explore maybe later the benefits, it's the conversion capacity that would, you know, probably if you ask them retrospectively or now, that's going to be the forefront of what they can achieve. Now, further to that, 85% of merchants did see a significant increase in conversion or an increase, and actually 23% of those saw a 10% plus increase, so very significant, definite ROI and a reason for investment in that kind of multi-acquiring strategy.
So, Kieran, those are some interesting stats, no doubt about that. And I know at Mercator Advisory Group, in our conversations with merchants, certainly the landscape now is really speaking to cross-border transactions. You know, such an increase with global trade, both B2C and B2B. Certainly, we're seeing that on the upswing. So merchants really need to have quite a few options in front of them, you know, for these transactions to go through successfully. Revenue optimization is so important for merchants. So they need really effective, efficient payments transaction process to happen. And a lot of that, they're looking for high approval rates and things that really make the transaction go through on a friction-free basis as much as possible. So having that flexibility to be able to have access to multiple acquirers, that's really a big plus for merchants.
Yeah, and then also when they, you know, in an environment or developer portal such as ours, the ability to switch these on and off and may have been a hindrance in the past, and that there might be a thought concept that that's a difficult thing, but outside of the merchant arranging a commercial arrangement and with a bank or the acquirer or alternative payment method, then the actual technical side of switching on and off and offering customers more options is very achievable now in these platforms.
You know, Kieran, thank you so much for really kind of, you know, unpacking some of the high level key findings of that survey. But you know, I think Ray kind of alluded to this a little bit, and I'd really kind of want to flush this aspect of it out here, is then, you know, kind of based upon those survey results, what are really the benefits then of having more than one acquirer? And then also, how does that benefit then both the PSPs and the merchants?
I mean, that's the most important question, isn't it? So where's my ROI? Where's my business case? You know, And again, it depends on the merchant, the sector, their globality, you know, what they're trying to achieve in their payment strategy, what are their customer demographics and things like that. But, you know, the ultimate benefits that drive conversion and so forth is it's about, first off, it's about mitigating risk. You have to, you know, really look at that, because resilience was top of mind in the reasoning. So, you know, mitigating outages and latency is really key. But then you, in terms of financial benefits, it's all about routing transactions and what we call dispatching in our own environment. So what are some of the things that matter in terms of payment orchestration and dispatching? I can call out and give case study and evidence around least cost routing, dynamic retries, A/B testing, so that you can play off acquirers against each other and understand the optimum strategies or connectivity or dispatching strategy based on data, certain data fields. In certain countries, again, with 3D secure and authentication and PSD2 becoming so relevant and topical and an important factor in customer journey, acquirers are now more accountable for authentication and fraud and risk management. So 3DS strategies could drive reasons for multi-acquiring and dispatching. Even, you know, as boring a topic as compliance and scheme mandates and ability for acquirers to keep up to date with those important things can be a factor. Again, 3DS 2.2 is a good example of that currently. Then you've got, you know, local versus global acquiring, approval rates, interchange, all those really key things are reasons for multi-acquiring. Then you look at chargeback processing, chargeback costs, commercial side of how acquirers charge and support all of that. And further support in business analytics, you know, and payment insights and payment optimization and how to settle and how to present a payment and what data to put into the file. You know, all these things add up. And each basis point or percentage improvement is really fundamental to optimizing profits. So, and then finally, I'm going to talk about alternative payments, and they are asynchronous, and certain methods go out to outside of the acquirer to the alternative payment to settle. And but you do have things like wallets that do go through the acquirer, and they need to be, you know, able to support those in a certain way and so forth. And then you've got flexibility in how you present yourself and your transaction around MCC codes and dynamic descriptors and all those really things. So when you break it down, there's so many dimensions to it that in a platform such as ours, it's easy to configure and evolve and orchestrate in the grand scheme of things. But there are lots of, like I said, important factors that drive the benefit of that multi-acquiring strategy. You know, I could talk forever on that and break them all down. There are a lot, when you really look into it, reasons and benefits to that strategy.
That's right, Kieran. And there are so many dimensions to this for merchants to be able to get their transactions approved, certainly, when many merchants really do not even realize this, of course, especially small and medium merchants that are, you know, ramping up their volume for global transactions. But you pull the curtain back, really, for what happens for a payment transaction to occur. And there are so many variables, as you're pointing out. But at the end of the day, you know, the merchant wants to run their business. They don't want to spend a lot of time getting into the weeds on what happens in the payment transaction process. So, I mean, that's why they're relying on payment vendors to be able to have the access to the different acquirers across the globe. And in the case of ACI, Kieran, and what's your access in terms of, you know, the amount of countries and currencies that you're dealing with right now?
Well, in terms of the functionality, there's no gaps in currency and how I present the kind of customer, our front end, let's say. And then obviously we have connectivity across the globe in all countries, in essence, and we have a customer base, a strong one in each country, and we evolve. The evolution of that customer brings on further customers. Even our merchants that are global, you know, as we develop connectors or functionality for a merchant that is operating in Brazil, for example, then the whole platform benefits from that that type of functional upgrade or solution set. So, you know, we've got 18 scrums, we call it, in development sense, that are constantly looking at the multi-acquiring connectivity, functionality, orchestration, and evolution of the platform.
You know, a couple of the things that I think was really interesting in that part of the conversation there that I'd really like to call out, you know, kind of circling back to in terms of some of the benefits. I mean, in my viewpoint, kind of looking at it from the merchant perspective, and that I think kind of Ray really highlighted there is really kind of just the authorization rate side of things, and that the merchant themselves aren't necessarily payments experts. So they're looking for partners that are, and they might not understand the entire flow of the payment journey, so to speak here, and might not understand that, hey, if you have a system that's in place that optimizes, that says, hey, you know, if it's this type of a payment and it takes this type of a flow, well, maybe we kind of change it a little bit, and that then improves your authorization rate for it, which again, at the end of the day, that's what the merchant's really looking for is, okay, how many sales can I accurately get across here that are going to reduce the number of chargebacks that I have and that complete the total sale and therefore higher profitability on that. Now, the next question then that I've got here for you, Karen, is, you know, taking a look at ACI, how many acquirers do you work with across your payments gateway, and why does that number really matter?
Yeah, good question. So we've got around 260 plus connectors active and available to our network. And that matters because that, again, it all feeds back to approval rates and also speed and flexibility of and functionality. So whether it's a direct merchant and they want to go into different countries, they know that they can act locally in their global strategy. So they can have local connectivity. We've got a large merchant, European originating, are in 18 countries. They have 11 different acquirers because they want that local strategy in terms of their auth and their acquiring strategy. And that really pays back in spades in that business case in ROI. And then again, we are, you know, a dedicated technology layer for, you know, any payment opportunity in secure e-commerce. So we just need to have that capability to then be that technology layer. And but that's only half of the, I call it a battle, but it's half the story, isn't it? It's then about how do I develop that connection, how do I ensure it's up to date with schemes, and all that investment and time and effort in mandates and functionality and maintenance, how do I enable orchestration, you know, in the different flows that I talked about earlier. And again, for the merchants, they don't really care so much about all that complexity. They just want to switch it on and know that they're going to, at the end of all of that, get the most highest possible conversion. And that's really fundamental as well. And how do we, as a developer portal or as a solution, make it easy to work with is really also quite important. So simple code, when I want to add a payment method or change my widget and my style of my checkout page and so forth. But that all has to align back to the acquirer and what needs to be passed and all those things. So I guess to your point, the question is that global reach is really important. You know, online opens up the borders. You know, I'm not now subject to my operation in my own country. It, you know, the essence of the World Wide Web and digital payments is that it opens up everyone in the globe to your solution, and how do you leverage that? And yes, you leverage it through how you present your product, but if you don't then align that to your payment strategy and your connectivity, then the customer doesn't get to purchase at the end of the day. And that's really the fundamental goal of all of the customers and merchants.
Right, Cannon. You know, I think of it as from benefits to merchants. We've been talking about, you know, the access to multiple acquirers. And as we've said, least cost routing is a big factor because, again, of the cost effectiveness and also revenue optimization. But I also think that specialization plays a key role here in that, you know, different acquirers have certain specialties among retail and commerce verticals. There are so many products, goods, and services that you know, have differentiated needs in how they're sold, the types of authorization that needs to take place in terms of who, you know, the buyer, and so on. So merchants really can benefit by having access to all these different acquirers that each bring something different to the table, or at least merchants really need to know that, you know, safer products that, especially in a card-not-present environment, have a higher probability of fraud, that they're dealing with an acquirer that has robust fraud management solutions. So those are the types of things I think that merchants need to keep in mind, and also a key benefit as they deal, the ability for them to deal with multiple acquirers.
You know, Kieran, but one of the things that I thought was really kind of interesting that you pointed out there, you know, that you talked about your organization as kind of a technology platform for it. And, you know, we kind of jokingly said that, you know, merchants don't necessarily care about the technology behind it. They just want to be able to get the higher approval rates at the end of the day. But a merchant to some degree does need to care about the organization that they partner with, because you don't want to partner with somebody that's not looking towards the future and has that flexibility, because as we know, the payment ecosystem constantly evolves, and there's new payment types that are added. There's, you know, kind of new players that are constantly coming in here. So being able to have a partner that understands that they need to be flexible and therefore are building that technology platform layer to accommodate that certainly is then also going to benefit merchants in the long run here as well, too, as more players start to enter into the space. But I kind of want to flip this conversation a little bit on its head here and then ask the question, why might some merchants prefer to work with only one acquirer?
Yeah, we still see that. And again, it's sort of in that mid-tier, smaller merchant is probably more common, let's say. And I think the reason is that their kind of banking strategy or decision drives their payment kind of strategy and decision. So, you know, I go to an acquirer to get my, you know, for my banking purpose and settlement and to actually collect my money, which is really important, isn't it? And that they then turn and say, well, we can offer you the gateway and you're now embedded into that single strategy where there's no other options. And I think that's probably the reality of how it all plays out. And that can be okay. I mean, if that acquirer has the functionality that services your customer base, you know, if they offer wallets and you have a demographic of less than 35 years, where we know from our analytics that, you know, Apple, Google Pays are really key to that journey or that customer, then that can work. But then you have that issue of resilience and latency and risk, I guess. But, you know, another reason it might be that there's not enough volume or scale to then leverage multiple acquirers, and that becomes commercially challenging. You want a single settlement for your kind of accounting and back end or finance team. So, you know, if the acquirer has the level of functionality that is in line with your customers and maybe you're not thinking out of the box about what more you could achieve, then that would be sufficient. And it's one of those sort of chicken and egg until you test the concept of multi-acquiring, which is an investment in time and you have other resource constraints, which we all know merchants do, then it maybe never becomes a reality or an option, and it probably should do, because again, we've seen in lots of, well, the digitization and the way the world is now and the move to e-commerce and secure e-com that, having that strategy as finely tuned as possible is driving significant revenue uplifts and ROIs. And you know, we've experienced that through merchants with COVID and so forth. And I think there's more awareness now of the options in the payment strategy.
Right, Kieran. You know, in terms of thinking about why some merchants would just really sole source or just look at one provider, I think it's primarily small to medium-sized merchants. They feel they may not have the resources to deal with different vendors. But I think what we're really talking here is probably a single point of contact that gets them to multiple acquirers. So it may not be as much work as they think it is initially. Some merchants feel that with, as you're mentioning, more volume, they have more negotiating power. And that could very well happen in some instances. But overall, I think merchants really come out ahead when they have access to multiple acquirers. And it just opens up so much more flexibility and really, I think, more benefits in terms of the cost effectiveness and higher approval rates.
Excellent. Well, I think we'll end it on that note there. So Kieran Ray, thank you so much for taking the time today for talking to me about PSPs and merchants and this multi-acquiring relationship. And I hope that we'll be both back on the podcast real soon.
Cheers.
Thanks, Ryan. Great to be with you, Kieran. Take care.
Thank you.